Hey. And happy Easter. It's a Resurrection Sunday. And I felt like sharing something today. It's just a few episodes and I'm hoping that when you do listen to this, it will motivate you to know that you're the reason that he came. You're the reason that he was on the cross. And you're the reason that he's resurrected. John 17, 9 to 10. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to me. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me joy. Did you know that our Christ Jesus is praying for you constantly? The Bible says over and over and over and over and over again that Jesus is praying for you all the time. But wait a minute. You might be thinking, isn't Jesus God? How can he pray to himself? But think about it. You talk to yourself all the time. I know I do. That's because you are made in God's image. Jesus is God. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he's talking to himself about you all the time. So you're precious to him. You are the object of his affection. Of course, he's thinking about you, talking about you. He cares for you that much. Even before Jesus died on the cross, he was praying for you. And this was what he said in the scripture we have read in John 17, 9, 10. He said, my prayer is not for the world, no, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. Jesus is constantly hearing him say, help me, Lord. Help her. Help. Help him. Constantly. That is what Jesus is saying to God. This is because he's interceding. And when someone is an intercessor, it simply means to advocate on behalf of somebody. Anytime you pray for someone else, that's called intercession. You can intercede for others. And that's what Jesus does for you. Kind of like Abraham, interceding for a nation. Jesus Christ has been interceding for you every moment of your life. You can do that because he's God. He doesn't get confused. He doesn't get overwhelmed. Your circumstances aren't too much for him. He is your advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, who also make intercessions for us. That is Romans 8:34. He's an advocate. He sits at the right hand. This means that every time you stumble or sin, Jesus leans over and reminds the Father that he already paid for that one. It's covered. Your sins are covered. So don't wallow in them anymore. Don't feel sad in them anymore. He paid for that. Because Jesus is interceding for you. You can pray a simple prayer anytime, even if you don't know what to pray for. Even if you don't know what else to pray for. You can just say, hey, Jesus, thank you for praying for me right now because I'm really struggling. Oh, that's a good prayer. I'm going to say it again. Jesus, thank you for praying for me right now because I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling right now. I'm really going through a lot right now. I'm struggling with that depression. I'm struggling with that addiction. I'm struggling with that pain. I'm struggling with that heart. I'm struggling right now. And I need you right now. And I know you're praying. You are interceding for me right now. And I thank you for the cross. I thank you because you went in there to pay what I couldn't pay for. So thank you. Thank you. So you can pray to Jesus. You can pray in Jesus' name. And you can find comfort in knowing that Jesus is always for you. He's always for you. So the question is, where will you spend eternity? Your sin separates you from God. It is only God's grace that allows you back into a right relationship with Him. The Bible says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, but by grace. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. So if you're ready to make peace with your Creator, then please pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I don't want my sin to separate me from you any longer. You have promised that if I believe in you, everything I've ever done wrong will be forgiven. I will learn the purpose of my life, the purpose of my calling, and you accept me into your eternal home in heaven one day. I confess my sins. I believe you are the Savior. You have promised that if I confess my sins and trust you, I will be saved. I believe you when you say salvation comes by grace, through faith, and not by anything I do, not by anything I lay my hands on. I receive you into my life as my Lord. Today, I'm turning over every part of my life to your management. I want to live the way you created me to live and use the rest of my life to serve you instead of serving myself. I commit my life to you and ask you to save me and accept me into your family. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 If you just prayed to accept Jesus into your life, I so much congratulate you right now. It's so much a delight. It's so much a delight that you pray that prayer. If you're dedicating yourself to God and it's your first time, I'm so happy for you right now. And thank you, thank you, thank you, because He's always praying for you. 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 My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me. Because they belong to me. Because they belong to you. All who are mine belongs to you. And you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. John 17, 9 to 10. See you on the next one. Bye-bye. You can lose what Jesus has secured. You can lose it. Even if you feel like everything has been lost, you can lose it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hands. John 10, 27, verse 28. Like any loving father, God doesn't want to lose any of his children. And there are a lot of evil forces in the world that would like to try to hurt his children. Why? Because if they can hurt God's children, then they can hurt God. It is common for people who want to give their lives to Christ to be afraid. They won't be able to keep that commitment. They say, there are so many temptations in my life. I'm doubting that I can keep myself safe. But just as you can't save yourself from your sins, you can't keep yourself safe. That is Jesus' job. And that is why he's risen. That is why he's the reason for the season. He has made sure that no matter what happens in your life, your salvation is secured. He has ensured that you will make it safely to heaven to live with your God forever. Yeah, that's what the scripture says in John 10, 27. It said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. 28 say, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. That is how secure you are. That is how your life, that is how your salvation is secured. It's not something you give your life to Christ today and you're like, oh, you know, I've given my life to Christ and, well, I'm back to my square one temptation. So I don't think I got this. You got it. In fact, it is God's job to get it for you. It is God's job to ensure that if you are in his hands, no one can take you away from it. There may be times you want to let go of God's hands, but he will never let go of you. That's called an eternal security. It's Jesus' job, not yours. He paid the price, remember? He died on the cross, not you. Come on. He died on the cross for you. You didn't die for the cross, for yourself. He's paid the price. It's foolishness to pay for something that's already been paid for. The Apostle Paul said of Jesus, I know the one in whom I trust. And I'm sure that he's able to guide what I have entrusted to him unto the day of his return. 2 Timothy 1:12. This is what Jesus is doing in the world right now. He's safeguarding your salvation. He's protecting the salvation of everybody who was choosing to become part of God's family by faith. You can lose a lot of things in life. You may lose your family. You may lose your job. You may lose your health. You can even lose your mind. But there's one thing that you can never lose. I promise you, you can never lose it. And that is your salvation. You don't have to work for your salvation. You don't have to work to keep it. It's not something you have to work to earn. You can rest in God's work for you. You can. You can. And that is why your salvation is secured in his hand. The Bible says that you can only get to heaven by trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ. You can't earn your way into heaven. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. No one can boast. Jesus has forgiven you. No matter what you face, you can always count on his forgiveness. He has forgiven your past, present, future sins, and we can securely rest in his arms, knowing that he holds you and guides you along every dead valleys, along every circumstances and trials, along every issues and addiction, along every pain and hurt that you feel right now. Just remember, he's risen, and you are risen with him. I'll see you in the next one. Do you have a room in God's house? There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. John 14:2-3. The night before he went to the cross, Jesus wasn't focused on the agony and pain he was about to go through. He was thinking about you. And this is what he said: there are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I will not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you'll be where I am. Jesus said he was going to prepare a room in heaven for everyone who believes in him. The God who can create the universe with a few words has been taken 2,000 years ago to prepare an eternal home for you. It's going to blow your mind. It will be anything like you could possibly imagine. The world is a beautiful place. You know, I've been to so many states. I've been able to chat with, I've been able to have friends all over the world. And from their own point of view, I've seen some amazing places. And even in all its brokenness, it still contains some incredible sights. If a broken place can still be so beautiful, imagine what a place of perfection will be like. I can't even explain it to you. In fact, that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eyes have seen it, no ears have heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him. In the KJV, it says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the heart of any man, is the things that God is going to prepare for those that love him. We can't comprehend just how wonderful heaven will be for those who have made Jesus the Lord of their lives. But I do know this is a place of perfection where we will joyfully be in the presence of God. And I want you to be there. Jesus wants you to be there. He gave his life so you could be there. However, going to heaven is not automatic. God gives you the choice to love him. He doesn't force you to love him. He doesn't coerce you to love him. He gives you a choice. As if you were some sort of robot. He gives you that choice. He's giving you the freedom to choose him. But in order to get into God's family, in order to get into the family, the place he has prepared for us, that heaven, You first need to join God's family through faith in Christ Jesus. I look forward to seeing all my brothers and sisters in our perfect eternal home, where we can worship God, walk together, and enjoy all that He has prepared for us. Can you imagine what a perfect place it could be like when we get there? The invitation to God's family is wide open. No matter what you have done or where you've been, you've got a place in God's family forever, ready and waiting for you. Just believe and receive. Are you ready? Are you ready? Then start your journey by praying this prayer and what we prayed when we started this podcast. And I just want to pray a few prayers for you, if that is okay by you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for all that I've done wrong, so that I don't have to pay the penalty. I know I don't deserve your forgiveness. I know only your grace can save me. Lord, I could never be good enough to get into a perfect place. And thank you for loving me so much that you took all my guilt on yourself. You made me acceptable for heaven. And I ask you to save me. I believe in you, Jesus. And I believe you will keep your promise to save me instantly, certainly, completely, and eternally. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. I'm so happy for you for listening. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Christ is risen, and He's the reason for the season. He's gone up. He's risen. He's broke the bound of death so that you can come out in freedom. See you on the next one. Bye-bye. He's risen. And today, we're going to talk, we're going to be looking at quite an interesting topic. Because He's not here. He's risen. Look where they used to lay him. Nothing more powerful than going to look for Jesus at the grave, not knowing that the one you're looking for has risen. And that is a beautiful exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm going to take it again. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He made him. He became sin for us, so that in him we might experience that beautiful exchange. You know, beautiful exchange takes place when we give our lives to God. And it's something we have to be grateful for. He took away our infirmities. And by stripes we are healed. Salvation means when we offer God what we have and He gives us what He has. Salvation simply means when we offer God what we have, our brokenness, our deceits, our lust, our selfishness, our pride, our attitudes, our lame excuses. And He gives us what He has. Healing, grace, blessings, divine direction, hope, joyfulness. He takes all of our sins and gives us all this. He takes our diseases and sicknesses and gives us healing and health. Turn John 2. In turn John verse 2, it said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that may yet prosper and be in good health, even as the soul prosper." Even as you prosper. That is God's will for everybody. So stop making that lame excuses. Stop making the lame excuses. Stop giving God that excuse that, in the Message Bible it says, "I pray for good fortune and everything you do, for your good health, that your everyday affairs prosper, as well as your soul." Can you see that? You see, I pray for good fortune in everything you do. That is the beautiful exchange. Taking away every form of weaknesses. Taking away every form of faults, sin, failures, and giving you His ability, His strength, His righteousness. He takes our messed up, failure-filled past and gives us the hope of a bright future. In ourselves, we are nothing. Our own righteousness is like filthy rags or polluted garment. That's what Isaiah said in 64 verse 6. But in Christ, we have a future to be thankful for. One that is worth looking forward to. When we look at Christ, we look at something we can put our faith on in every aspect of our lives. Because He was hung on the cross. The beautiful exchange. He had to go through shame so that we might not have to go through it again. He had to go through failures so that we don't have to go through it again. Everything that we'll ever go through has been paid for. So we need to make that exchange. We need to make that exchange. And this is the covenant we have with Almighty God. And if you have that understanding, that what you're going through right now, He has paid it for you, and He has paid it for you in double form. So what is your excuse? What is the excuse? What do you have to tell God that He hasn't paid for? Yeah. What do you have to tell Him? You owe Him nothing, but you owe Him everything. Because He has paid everything for you. He has. And the cross? So that you might experience just as Jesus asked that man, "Do you want to get well?" And Christ is asking you, "Do you want to have a fellowship with me?"
Do you want to come to the newness of this grace? And let's pray. Heavenly Father, when I'm feeling inferior or condemned, help me to remember who am I in you. Help me to remember what you've paid for. Help me to remember that you went to the cross so that you could break the bound of death and you can bring us out from it into your marvelous light. Help me to remember what you've done. Thank you that I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I'm accepted into your kingdom. I'm righteous. I'm strong. I'm able. Because I have found in you worthy of the Lamb who was slain. Worthy. And you are a God who is consistent. Man may fail, but you are not the type to fail. You have proven over and over and over again that you are a God who can be trusted. So thank you for the cross. Thank you for sending your son. Amen. See you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Hey, and welcome to yet another episode of He Is Risen. Previously we looked at the beautiful exchange, and if you have not listened to it, you should definitely give it a spin. Yeah. And we're still on His reason. Do you want to get well? That was the question of Jesus to a man who has been in that ordeal for 38 years. But the Message Bible calls it, he has been invalid there for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool and knew how long he has been there, he said, "Do you want to get well?" That is a question that bugs our mind every time Christ is asking us that question. Because for every question he asks us, it's not a question that brings about excuses. He doesn't ask the question because he cannot do it. It's asking you if you can believe that he can do it. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Because let it be according to your faith. Do you want to get well? Now, when I talk about do you want to get well, I don't mean that you are sick physically in your body. When I talk about do you want to get well, it means do you want to be free from the things that torments you at night? Do you want to be free from the torture, from the agony, from the pain that you feel in your private when people are not watching? You smile on the cameras, but when you are home and when you are alone, there are tears rolling out from your eyes. And Christ is asking you right now, do you want to get well? Learn to live on the resurrection side of the cross. Learn to live on the resurrection side of the cross. Behold, it was for my peace that I had intense bitterness. But you have loved back my life from the pit of corruption.
the nothingness. For you have cast all your sins behind your back. That's from the Amplified
Version.
You see, behold, it was for my peace that I had intense bitterness. But you have loved back my life from the pit of corruption and nothingness. We must live on the resurrection side of the cross. Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead so that we might no longer be stuck in sin. And listen to our center of our text. It said, and the moment Jesus told him, get up, take your bedroll, start working. And he did not know who healed him, right? Verse 14, John 5, if you're wondering, John 5, 14, he said, a little later, Jesus found him in the temple and said, you look wonderful. You're well, good. Don't return to a sinning life, or something worse might happen. So we have to learn to live on it. Learn to live on our wellness of the healing is a work. Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead so that we might no longer be stuck in sin. Live a miserable life. He has paid the price. Don't go back to the life he paid for. Don't go back to the very verbiage he has set you free from. Many people wear a necklace called a crucifix, right? Which is an emblem of Jesus hanging on the cross. Often we see a crucifix in church with Jesus hanging on it. I know it is done to remember and honor him. I'm not against it. But the truth is, he's not on the cross any longer. It's not there. The Roman crucified thousands of people, but only one rose again from the dead. Now he's seated in heavenly places with his Father. And as he has also lifted us above the low levels of thinking from living a sinful and worldly life. The Apostle Paul said he was determined to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection that lifted him out from among the dead. Oh, I'm going to read this from you in the Message Bible, and it's going to be so beautiful. And in the Message Bible said, I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Jesus personally. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally. Experience his resurrection power. It is an experience. When you go through an experience, you want to tell people about the experience you've gone through. That beautiful, blissful experience. Oh, how amazing it would be to be on that day, to have seen Christ risen. You saw him dead, but now he's alive. Be a partner in his suffering and go all the way with him to death itself. Jesus came to lift us out of the ordinary, out of the negative mindset, out of guilt, out of shame, out of condemnation. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. You are not condemned anymore because you believe he came to take our sin to the cross. And this was what he did. He took our sins and he defeated them. Sin has no power over you, over me, any longer, because we are forgiven. And that penalty, he has paid. So which side of the cross are you living on? Which side of the cross are you living on? Do you want to get well? The sick man said, "Sir," he asked a question. That was a yes or no question. But he gave lame excuses. The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is dead, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody else is already in it." And who said? Who said? The King of Kings is asking you a question, and you are talking about the pool. The living water is asking you a question, and you are talking about the pool. The King of Kings is asking you a question, and you're talking about the pool. The I Am That I Am is asking you a question. The pool himself is asking you a question, and you're talking about the pool. Every protocol is broken when God is on your case. Every protocol, every procedure is broken. He broke the bounds of death. Everything is broken. If it is God that is asking you, "I am going to send you to Pharaoh," and the only thing Moses could think about was to tell God that you stutter. When is the King of Kings asking you the question, you have to believe, because the question is a quest, not some lame excuses. Not some lame excuses. So which side of the cross are you living on? The crucifixion side or the resurrection side? Which side of the cross are you living on? The crucifixion side or the resurrection side? It is good and respectful to remember that Jesus suffered a terrible death for us on the cross. But we need to also realize that he rose from the dead and made a new life available to us. There's a popular song that says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Because he lives. And because he lives, I have that assurance that if it is God asking me that question, I can go above. And what that song simply means is Jesus' death and the resurrection gives us the power and privilege to live life in victory today. Because he lives, we can love ourselves in an unselfish way, a way that enables us to be all we can be for God's glory. The only way I know to say it is, get a new attitude about yourself. Get a new mindset about yourself. Stop thinking that your failures and mistakes are just too much for God. He's looking at them. When Christ asked the question, "Do you want to get well?" He wasn't asking out of pity. He was asking because he could do it. But you need to believe it. So you need to stop looking at those mistakes and failures. Those have been dealt with Christ. You need to start looking at the resurrection side. Because he's not dead. He's living. And with that understanding, can we just pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die and rise from the dead. Give us victory over sin and death. Help us to live on the resurrection side of the cross with a new attitude about ourselves, free from guilt and shame. Empower us to live unselfishly and be all we can for your glory. Amen. 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 Thank you for listening, and learn to live on the resurrection side of the cross. See you on the next one. Bye-bye. As we wrap up the episode of Jesus the Risen King, there is a scripture that says, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the heart of any man is the thing God will do. And he did it because he said, I will tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up. They did not understand what he meant by that, because they thought, maybe how would you tear down a temple that was built for so long and you will magically raise it up? They did not know that he was talking about his crucifixion and his resurrection. As we begin to wrap up this, let's look at some very important scriptures. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creature has come. The old is gone and the new is here. In the King James Version, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that is what we hold on to. I'm going to read it from you from the Message Bible, and I think it has something cool. But this is from the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. It's created new. The old life is gone. A new life beckons. Look at it. Now we look inside and we see. And what do we see? That is that anyone, there is no specific, there is no race, there is no tribalism, there is no color. If anyone is united with the Messiah, gets a fresh start. And I'm wondering, do you want to have a fresh start? Because when we are overwhelmed, it can feel like there's no room left to do anything. But worry.
But you're listening to this because that is not God's intention for you. He's giving you what you need to fight those feelings. You don't have to stay stuck in the shame, in the regret, in the bad decisions. Sometimes all you need to do is remember who you are, who God is. Need a reminder? He said, anyone that is united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created anew. The old life is gone, a new life beckons. Would you look at it? Would you look at the new life you are emerging to? So you don't have to stay stuck in that shame. Sometimes all you need to do is remember who you are, what the word is saying, what God is saying about you. He provides all you need according to his purpose. He is your peace when you are in a place of panic. He's your provider when you are in a place of need. He's your solution when you're in a place of problem. He's a comforter when you're in the place of loneliness. So when things start to feel out of control, and trust me, they will, all we have to do is let our way make our true. You handle the rest. You handle the rest. When God goes in, everything gets to get out. Everything goes out. So, let God remove what is limiting you, so that he can make a room to lift you to your full potential. And dear God, we've heard your word this morning. Anyone that gets united with you gets to have that first thought. And to everyone listening here, give them that first thought. A new life that beckons. A new life filled with hope. A new life filled with joy. And when they look at, when they look at them, they begin to see the authenticity. They begin to see the uniqueness of your nature in them. Amen. I'll see you in the next one. Revelation 4:11. Worthy, O Master, yes, our God, take the glory, take the honor, take the power. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it. Now that's from the Message Bible. It said, you're worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. It was created because you wanted it. So you're worthy, O Master. So take the glory, take the honor, take the power. In business, the term upstream doesn't have to do with rivers. It's actually where the product is created. Downstream refers to marketing and selling of product. So why do we spend most time downstream? trying to market ourselves instead of the upstream with God, letting Him show us who we really are. Those downstreams are sort of a distraction. Downstream brings doubt. Downstream brings disappointment. They can keep you stuck for a very long time if you're not careful. So step into the season of becoming all God made you to be. Stop looking back. Stop looking back to your limitations and start trusting the Almighty, who is worthy. He was a lamb that was slain for our sake, so that we can be joined here with Him into the throne of grace. So once again, worthy, O Master. Yes, our God. Take the glory, take the honor, take the power. You created it all. It was created because you wanted it. I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye. Psalm 27, or Psalm 28, verse 7. I'm going to read by 6, okay? Just get 7. Yeah. Blessed be God. He heard me pray. He proved He's on my side. I've thrown my lot with Him. Now I'm jumping for joy and shouting and singing my thanks to Him. You might be facing something right now that you don't feel strong enough to overcome. And it feels, you might be feeling lonely. You might be battling a bad habit. You might be stuck in a difficult situation that you can just shake it off. Whatever that thing is, know that God is in with you. He's walking through you. The odds might seem like they are stacked against you, but if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is with you, who can stand against you? If God is seated with you, who can stand to oppose the thing that God has said for you? If He's within you, then your victory is already yours. So step forward in the strength that you have, in the strength that He has given you. You might be surprised to find out that is more than enough. That is more than enough. That is able to do exceedingly above all. And when He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. His word is that powerful to break every chains.
to break every bound. His voice is powerful to beat down every door. Just to set you free. So whatever you're going through right now, He's in with you. And just as He's made a way for Peter right there in the prison, He's going to make a way for you. He's the way maker. Probably you're in a storm and it feels like the ocean is going to take me up. And probably you're seeing a ghost. He won't let you sink. Ask Peter. Even when his faith was so faint that he was sinking, his grace was so much that he was lifting. That's God's grace for you. That's God's grace. And I told my students one time, you know, some few days ago, I told them that when you see me talking about God, it's not because I'm trying to be more righteous. It's not because I'm trying to be more holy. Than anyone. It's because I've seen Him come true in my life over and over and over and over again. So, well, I've gotten to the point that it's either God or God. Because even when I walked away, He never walked away. Even in the fire, even in the rain, He's just the same. He's never left me. So why would I stop talking about Him? His love is steadfast. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So keep rejoicing. Because the battle is won. So now I'm jumping for joy and I'm shouting and I'm singing my thanks to God. I'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye. Second Corinthians 4:17, and I've read this before, but we're looking at it in another way. I'm going to start with 16. So we are not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, God is making new life. Not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. Verse 17. These hard times, my God, are small potatoes compared to to the coming good times. There's hard times. And while we look at it as small potatoes, these are storms. These are storms. The good news Bible says is that these small and temporary troubles we suffer will bring us tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the troubles we face. The message says it as, say, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming of the good times. If I'm to call this capture, I will call it, every storm is a school, every trial is a teacher. Because when we go through difficulties in life, the first thing we often try to do is blame somebody else. But it doesn't matter where your problem came from. God still has a purpose for it in your life. Even when you do something foolish, God can use it. He said, even his foolishness is wiser than the wisest of them all. So God can use that very, and can use it, and can use it times it and this is it, and when we hear that beep, is have you ever been in the hospital? And you hear that beep and you said, this is it. It's not gonna make it. It kind of reminds me that, Master, if you have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus' response to that lost hope was that, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see the miracles, his marvelous work. And it is at that beep that our faith begins to go down and the storm begins to increase. And that is why every storm is a school. And every trial has something to teach you. In the school of storm, every of the trials teaches you something to go out from the school, from the storm of schools, or from the school of storm, whichever way you want to put it. So even when you do something foolish, God can still use it. Even when other people hurt you intentionally, he can use it. Even when the devil tries to mess things up, God still brings out the good. God still brings out the wonders. God can still bring good out of it. God's purpose is greater than your problems and your pain. He has a plan. You need to look past the temporary pain and look instead at the long-term benefit in your life. Romans 5, 3 to 4 says, that's the New Living Bible, said, we can rejoice. Why can we rejoice? When we run into problems and trials, really? For we know that they help us learn to be patient. Yeah. But why am I running into it? They help you to learn to trust. And patience develops strength. It develops strength of character in you, in us. And it helps us to trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. What's the purpose of your problem and difficulty, if I may ask? What's the purpose of your problem? What's the purpose of your difficulty? God wants you to learn something from it, from that problem, from that difficulty. Every storm is a school. Every trial is a teacher. Every experience is an education. And finally, every difficulty is for your development. And I get it. Most of us are slow learners, even in school, right? You don't learn something the first time. God will always bring it up again in your life. It will come because God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. He's more interested in seeing you become more like Christ than is making things easy for you. Maybe you're facing a major difficulty right now. It may be an illness, a guilt, a financial problem, a strain in a relationship. Does God have a word for you when you're going through your difficulty? Absolutely. Absolutely. God is essentially saying to you, don't give up. Go up. Let me make you more like me through this painful situation. Through your difficulties, let God fulfill His purpose in you to transform you more and more into the person He's created you to be. And that's it. This brings us to the end of He's the Risen King. I hope you enjoyed it. In every episode, in every word, in every chapter. Because after you do, going through this, you're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out more experienced. You're going to come out with your strength developed, character built in God. Bye-bye.